Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you will, take your New Testament and go to the general epistle. That would be James. James is where I want us to draw the entirety of our thoughts allotted before us today. James might be my favorite New Testament book. Now, it's not necessarily my favorite one to teach or preach. That's probably the book of Acts followed by Romans. But when I need encouragement, when I need something that is relatively short that I want to read, I usually find myself gravitating towards James. James, as I mentioned, is the general epistle of the New Testament. Why is he the general epistle? Well, for instance, Romans was written to the Romans, and Corinthians was written to those at Corinth. Those are specific. Titus is written to a specific individual, Philemon or Philemon. Even Hebrews is more specific. James is addressed to Christians. In fact, chapter 1, verse 1, those that are scattered abroad, Christians facing persecution. Who was James? James, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that meant Mary was his mother and Joseph was his father. And yes, those are the same earthly parents that Jesus has, but we know that we call him his half-brother because Jesus' father was not Joseph, but it was God. Also, I like James because history tells us it's probably the first New Testament book written. Probably in the 40s A.D. I like to think about 44, but arguably the first one written. And when you read through James, he doesn't mention anything that sounds like what Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John tell us. So it's evident then he probably came first because he doesn't fall back maybe on the same language that they use. So he writes generally to Christians and he encourages them to remain faithful. He says temptation's going to come, chapter 1, verse 2 through chapter 1, verse 13. He's going to close out by talking about being active. Be ye doers of the word, chapter 1, 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Chapter 2 may be the best section in Scripture on faith and works. Dear friends, you must have faith and you must have works. You can't be pleasing to God without one or the other. In James chapter 2 is the only time in Scripture we get the phrase faith only, chapter 2 about verse 24, and we know that's dead. See, we can't just believe on faith and just have faith only, but must have faith and works. James in chapter 3 talks about that tiny little member of our body which can get us into a whole heap of trouble. That's the tongue. He talks about the bridle of a horse, how that's a little thing, yet it turns the whole horse one way or another. He talks about the rudder or the helm on a boat, that little thing, yet it can control the whole boat. And likewise, at a fire as well. That's what James equates the tongue to. Chapter 4 is where I want us to draw our thoughts from in our time allotted. James chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7 and winding up in verse number 11, I want us to look at the 10 commandments of James. The 10 commandments. These aren't long, laborious, or drawn out. But when I think about the 10 commandments in Exodus chapter 20, I think about God giving His law to Moses, called the 10 words, literally thou shalt or thou shalt not. And it laid the groundwork for how the Israelites were to live, to conduct themselves, not only to God, those are your first of the four 10 commandments, but also to their fellow man, commandments 5 through 10. I want us to look now in James chapter 4, beginning in verse number 7, for the 10 commandments of James. Number 1, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first commandment that James gives you and I is, I must submit myself to God. That means I quit living for me and I live for Him. I quit doing the things that Justin wants to do and I replace that with the things that God wants me to do. So that's my first commandment. That's pretty important, number one, isn't it? He says to submit to God. Look at commandment number 2. Stay in verse 7. Resist the devil. Well, that's my second commandment then. I need to resist the wicked one. Peter, just a few pages over, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, calls him my enemy, my adversary. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I have an enemy who wants me to fail. Therefore, I need to resist him and notice a promise, and he will flee from you. Will is a promise. It is indicative of a future action. If today I resist the devil, tomorrow he will flee from me. That's commandment number 2. Look at commandment 3 from verse 8. He says, draw nigh to God or near, and God will draw near to you. I think one of the prettiest songs in our songbook is, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. Another song. There is an emphasis placed in Scripture and in our hymnal on being near God. If I am near God, then that means whom am I away from? The devil. I'm either with the devil or I'm with God. So I need, number 3, to draw near to God. Look at number 4, verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. I need to wash myself. Now, he doesn't mean to physically wash your hands with soap and water, although that's always a good thing, especially this time of year. Do a little extra, maybe. He's talking about the purification process from turning from a sinner and turning to God. Purify yourselves. How do I do that? By becoming a Christian. Notice commandment number 5 from verse number 8, and purify your hearts. You're double-minded. Not only do I need to cleanse my hands outwardly, but inwardly. I need to live a clean life and have a clean mindset. I need to do the things that God wants me to do and think about the things that God wants me to think about. What is that? Well, if I submit myself to Him, I'm going to know what He wants.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Look at commandment number 6. Keep going in verse number 9. A commandment is then to be afflicted. Sometimes it's okay to step back and realize what you've gone through. It's okay to realize that I am in the middle of a battle with the enemy. In fact, that's the only way you're going to win the war, is it not? To realize what you're doing. To sometimes pause. Maybe you need to regroup. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with trying a different tactic and being faithful, fighting the enemy. So he says, number 6, be afflicted. But look at commandment number 7 from verse number 9. And mourn. You ever thought about mourning? See, we don't like to mourn, right? We want to be all puffed up. I don't need to mourn. Dear friends, there is a time to mourn. Solomon tells us, Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to rejoice as well. But you know what? When the situation calls for mourning, we need to mourn. We need to be sad. We need to be sad over sin, especially. That's one thing that causes at least me to mourn, and I know God as well. So I need to be afflicted. Number 6, mourn. Number 7, then look at this. Number 8 is and weep. It's almost like he's taken it a step further, has he not? Be afflicted, mourn, and then weep. You know, when Paul writes to those in Romans chapter 12, he says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When someone has lost a dear loved one, we weep with them, do we not? When someone is sick, we weep maybe over that diagnosis or whatever the case may be. There is a time for that, dear friends. And I want you to notice our next command in verse number 10, which may sound familiar from the songbook. He says, to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's my 9th commandment. I need to humble myself before the presence of God. See, I've already submitted myself to Him. I've already drawn near to Him, but I don't come unto Him and say, look, God, because I am me, here's what you'll do. No, dear friends, I approach God on bended knee, humbly, because I am standing before the throne of the One that spoke the world into existence. An attitude like that should make me want to be humble when I talk to my Father. Now, I talk like we're good friends, because we are. We talk a lot, but I'm still humble when I do it. Notice, if I submit unto Him, if I am humble, He will do what? He shall lift you up. That's a promise, isn't it? I go to Him on bended knee. Maybe I'm upset. Maybe I've been afflicted. Maybe I've been mourning. Maybe I've been weeping. And I submit to Him and He picks me up. He gives me place to stand. And look at our final commandment, number 10, from verse number 11. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. That's my 10th commandment. I don't need to speak evil of those around me. Dear friends, we're all humans and we all make mistakes, yet we're all striving for the same goal, that eternal home in heaven with God. If you're not striving for that goal, can I encourage you to reconsider? There's no need for me then to speak evil of one another. Now, I've got to speak the truth in love, but I shouldn't go behind somebody's back speaking evil things of them. He says, he that speaks evil and judge his brother speaks evil of the law. He says, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. God is supposed to be the ultimate judge, not you. So quit speaking evil of those around you. Four simple verses, yet 10 things that weigh greatly upon our lives. The 10 commandments of James: to submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, be afflicted, mourn, weep, humble yourselves, and speak not evil of one another. Oh, dear friends, if we could just take these attitudes and apply them to our lives, that's what James is trying to get us to do, to be a better Christian. I want to close out this lesson the way that James closes chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. He's told you the good things to do. Now, will you do them? If you're not living faithful to Him, our invitation song is entitled, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Why not become faithful tonight? Why not become a Christian tonight? Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Come out of that water grave, a new creature alive in Christ. Oh, why not tonight? Dear Christian friend, if you've fallen away, oh, why not tonight? Why not come back to Him and do the 10 commandments in James and live a faithful life? If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Let's talk about the word study one more time. S-T-U-D-Y, the letter Y. Yielding to the thing studied. When we look at Mark chapter 4 of that beautiful parable of the sower and the seed, the parallel in verse 8, how seed fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Well, the meaning of that is that they have the word of God that falls upon good hearts. They hear the word, receive it, and they in turn will bring forth fruit. So when we study, we must yield to the things that are studied so that we will yield good fruit. Visit us at InternationalGospelHour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and good friends, have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. You know, we've often said in our relationships with one another, don't let something come between us. Don't let something happen that would be our focus of our relationship. Don't let anything come between you. Now listen to Isaiah 55, verse 2. Unto Israel he said, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. If it happens to Israel, it can happen to us today. If it happened then during the time of Isaiah, it can happen to us. Dear friends, God paid too great a price to allow our iniquities and our sins to separate us from God. Let's move those things away and come unto Christ. Visit our website at InternationalGospelHour.com. I'm Jeff Archie. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Imagine, if you will, that every home, instead of being happy, would be holy. Every individual in the home would be holy or set apart for God's service. If every member of the home is aiming toward God, would that not make a home a better place? And actually, it would be a happier place. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. What a wonderful thought, to be a servant of God, each and everybody in the home, to have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Think on these things. And hey, pay us a visit at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a great day.